Tonight I've got a little short message. It's actually a continuation on the short little message I brought last Wednesday night when I was here. Lachlan preached last Wednesday night, but the Wednesday night before, I preached on a devotional on confidence in an age of uncertainty. All right? Tonight is confidence in an age of uncertainty, part two. Part two. And I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 1. Please. Philippians chapter 1. Confidence in an age of uncertainty. Part 2. Philippians 1, verses 3 to 6 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us and get some encouragement out of this and teaching out of this scripture tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can open the Bible and look inside there, Lord, and know the mind of Christ. We can be told from your word, Lord, instructed on all things pertaining to life and godliness, everything that we need to know, Lord, about how we are supposed to conduct our life, how we are to conduct our church, how we should live our life to please you, Lord, and to serve you. And, Lord, we thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to be able to convict us, Lord, of these things, Lord, and make the word real to us, Lord. So we thank you for your word. Help us tonight as we look at this short little study, Lord, to know what it is you're saying to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as born-again Christians, we have many things about which we can be always confident. In part one of this Wednesday night series, we read in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 5 to 8. Now, you might like to turn there, please. 2 Corinthians, this is the scripture we used in my last message 2 weeks ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 5 to 8, talks about confidence. Now, he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. God did that. Who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8, we are confident, I say. This is the second time he's used that word, confident. He says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This inspired message from the Apostle Paul emphasized the Lord's complete provision for the eventual replacement of our earthly bodies with heavenly, perfect, eternal bodies. That's what we looked at last fortnight. We can have confidence in God that he will do that which he said he will do. Verse 6 of our text tonight assures us, of our scripture tonight, assures us, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I mentioned in my previous message, God wants us to be confident, not in ourselves though, but in him. Amen? Confidence in man or confidence in self without first having confidence in God and his promise is presumption. For the Christian, it is an exercise in uncertainty and eventually will lead to failure and disappointment. If we have confidence in ourselves without having confidence in God, God does want us to have confidence in ourselves, but not without confidence in him first. We must have confidence in God. We are reminded from Psalm 118 verse 8, that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, including ourselves, all right? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or in the government leadership of the country. We can live our lives being always confident, not in ourselves, but in the Lord's sure promises that he has made to us, to we who have put our trust in him. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I've got a couple of scriptures, not too many. Easy ones to find. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. As I said, we can live our lives being always confident, not in ourselves, but in the Lord's sure promises that he has made to us, to we who have put our trust in him. 2 Timothy 1, verses 12 and 13, Paul puts it like this. He says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul says that he was persuaded. He is persuaded. In other words, he has confidence that the Lord is able to keep him secure in the promise that he has made to him. He has confidence in the Lord to perform his promises, not confidence in himself to somehow fulfill them. All right? Is that right? We need to have confidence in the promises of God, that God will perform them, and not try and perform them ourselves and get the cart before the horse and get run over. We're praying for God to bring us a pastor. We could do some things ourselves. We could ring around and attract all sorts of people here. But we're not doing that. We're going to put our confidence in God that he will fulfill his promise to us. Amen? We could get a pastor tomorrow. We could get a pastor tomorrow, let me assure you. But they're not on the same page as us. It'd be a waste of time. But if we want to do that, we're not putting our confidence in God, are we? We're putting our confidence in ourselves. Dangerous thing. Tonight, Paul says that he is persuaded. In other words, he has confidence that the Lord is able to keep him secure in the promise that he's made to him. He has confidence in the Lord to perform his promises, not confidence in himself to somehow fulfill them. Tonight, however, our text speaks to the wonderful truth that every Christian can be absolutely certain, can have complete confidence in the promise of eternal salvation. The simple reason for this is that the Lord never starts a work he cannot or will not finish. Verse 6 from Philippians 1, our text for tonight, states, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Who began the work in us? God. That's right. The Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul could pray with certainty that the fellowship he so enjoyed with the Philippian believers at a distance would continue under God's hand of blessing. In verse 3 to 5, he wrote, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul was completely confident that the Lord Jesus would keep the Philippian believers secure in him to the very end, until the day when they would be glorified at his appearing. The assurance of our eternal salvation depends entirely upon God's work, not on our own. Amen? The assurance of our eternal salvation depends entirely upon God's work, not on our own. It's God who will keep us until the day of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3, 1-3 refutes the dangerous false teaching. You can turn there, please. Galatians 3, 1-3. It refutes the dangerous false teaching that although we are saved by grace, we are kept saved by our own works. There's a teaching that says that. This false belief produces doubt and fear because of our obvious inabilities, rather than confidence in God and his demonstrated ability to fulfill all of his promises. Galatians 3 verses 1 to 3 reads, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn from you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Verse 6 of our text tonight encourages us to be confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We're not kept secure by our good works. Do we believe this promise of God, though? Because without complete confidence in the continuing work of the indwelling Holy Spirit until the day of Jesus Christ, every occasion of human failure gives Satan an opportunity to fill us with doubt as to the assurance of our eternal salvation. Every time we fail to overcome some temptation in our lives, we have this nagging thought that maybe we aren't really saved. If you don't have the assurance of your salvation, eternal security, if you don't believe in that, you will have problems. I used to think like that when I first became a Christian, and I was dealing with addictive things like smoking and drinking. I was never a drug taker. Praise the Lord, I never took drugs. Well, I did a couple of times, they never worked. It was a load of nonsense. But I wasn't into drugs, but I smoked and I drank. I knew I shouldn't drink and smoke, because I knew it was hypocritical of me to profess to be a Christian while continuing to do just that. And everyone could see that I was doing just that. And I knew it was wrong. I used to complain to the pastor, eh? Oh, I need to give up the smoke. I can't give it up, though. He said to me, Huey, don't worry about it. God will take it from you. That's the most wise thing he said. An Anglican priest said this. He said, the Lord will take it from you when you're ready, mate, when he's ready. He said, you shouldn't smoke, that's right. But don't struggle with it. Just know that you shouldn't be doing it. And God will take it away from you when you serve him. He said, you know, I've never seen, this an Anglican priest said, I've never seen a fair income Christian that ever smoked. He's seen lots of people in the church that smoked. He knew a lot of people that weren't saved in the church. They smoked. But he said, I've never seen a fair income Christian that smokes. So it's going to go from you, Huey. He knew I was saved, you see. So I knew I shouldn't be doing that. And everyone could see that I was doing that. And then the doubts about the genuineness of my salvation would start to whisper in my ear and try to convince me that I was a fraud, a dud, a hypocrite, and I might just as well go back to where I'd come from, being content to live my miserable life in company with my worldly lost former mates. I should just go back to them. Stop struggling with this thing. Being in a Pentecostal charismatic environment didn't help either, because some of their teachers actually promote that if we have sinned bad enough, we lose our salvation. And so we need to continually repent, get back right with God, and make sure we are saved again. As a young Christian battling against the world, the flesh and the devil, there was always this doubt that the genuineness of your salvation and being ready for... Hey, you doubt whether you're saved, and you're always scared whether you're going to be ready when the Lord returns. You might be unsaved when he comes. Think, wow, this is terrible. Always in, just living in this fear. And another problem was the false belief about the levels of different sins. Some sins were definitely bad enough to cause a person to lose their salvation, and others weren't. That's what I was told, you see. Some sins you can get away with, but others are really bad. No one was able to tell me which sins were which, though. They couldn't tell me which were the really bad ones. Where did the level come to where you lost your salvation, you see? It didn't make sense, eh? If you sin, you're going to lose your salvation. But I was sinning all the time. Like I preached in the message about spots and blemishes. We're going to be sinners until the day the Lord comes and gets us. We're never going to be pure from sin. We're trapped in this body of sin. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin, and he's given us power over sin through the Holy Spirit. But we're still sinners. If we've got to be perfect, pure for the Lord to come back, like I preached in the message a couple of weeks ago, if we're going to wait until we're sinless for the Lord to come back, he's not coming back. If he depends on us for our justification before the Lord, then it's not going to happen. It's through what Christ did, not what we do. We've been told not to sin, but we still are sinners. We're still sinners. Anyhow, I couldn't work out which level of sin was the one that cancels out your salvation, and which ones could you get away with and still keep saved. It was complicated. Didn't work. Anyhow, one day I read a scripture that got my friendship with some Catholics into serious trouble. The Catholic Church promotes the belief in venial sins and mortal sins. Venial sins aren't as bad as mortal sins, in that one only takes you to purgatory, which doesn't even exist anyway, and the other takes you directly to hell. The scripture I read in those early days suggested to me that sin is sin, and they all take you to hell if Christ hasn't paid the penalty for them. If you haven't been saved and born again, all is sin. Whatever sin is going to take you to hell. So I worked that out. I eventually worked out that Jesus did that for my sins, past, present and future, when I got saved. And I stopped this struggle about losing my salvation and having to get it back. This fear and uncertainty that the devil enjoys impressing upon us is a terrible enemy of our soul. And it's also an enemy of the confidence that the Lord wants us to have in his promise, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the promise we have to stand on. We're saved. We're saved. End of story. In closing, the confidence that God wants each of us to have concerning our eternal security and assurance of our salvation does not produce lethargy or negligence, but rather it produces faithfulness to the Word of God, as well as a gratitude to the Lord for the fact that His keeping power is just the same as, and as great as, His saving power. His keeping power and His saving power are one and the same thing. He who saved you will also keep you until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul said in Philippians 1:3-6, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul could say that he was confident about this because his confidence wasn't based upon our faithfulness to the promise, but it was based upon God's faithfulness to the promise. And not only to the assurance of our salvation, but to every other promise from God as well. All promises, not just the one of our salvation, God will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? Let's pray in close. Thank you, Lord, for this short study in your word. And Lord, the assurance that you give us from your word, Lord, that we are saved, Lord. And we don't lose our salvation. We are still saved, Lord. And even though we're sinners, Lord, our righteousness is not in of ourselves, Lord, but our righteousness is in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he performed upon the cross of Calvary on our behalf, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we can have assurance of that, that our salvation is not dependent upon keeping ourselves sinless, Lord, but upon what Christ has done for us. We thank you for tonight. Thank you for these people that have come. And we pray, Lord, that you'd bless the word to their hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.